When you come to the last message of a conference, we sort of hate to come to it. That's hard for a preacher to say, especially if he's going to be the one doing the preaching. Because I don't know about other preachers, but I know about me, I like to preach. And, you know, when set through 19 so other preach sermons, you keep hearing someone preach, and each time you think, boy, I'd like to preach too, you know. A fellow said one time, there's two kinds of preaching that make you want to preach, good preaching and bad preaching. So you listen to someone bring a message, and you think, boy, I'd like to preach, you know. And you've got to sit there and wait until the last one. But I kind of hate to come to the last one. We certainly enjoyed everything. We've heard many great sermons the past 3 days on the theme of the Christian in the last days. Our soul has been stirred. Our hearts have been made to rejoice. And our eyes surely have been turned to look to Jesus and for Jesus. Our toes should have been stepped, no stomped on. And we should have been made to be a little bit ashamed of our lives as a result of this conference. Amen. Open with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, we'll read verses 32 through 37. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, or at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. My subject, as I have already announced, is watch and pray. Verse 33. As we have looked at the numerous scriptures that have been presented to us this past weekend, as we listen to the many thoughts and comments, remarks that have been made relative to the various subjects and themes, there should not be a person here who would go out this door without thinking, my Lord's coming. Amen. We have many times allowed ourselves to come to a time of apathy. We have allowed ourselves to become lazy. We have allowed sometimes our doctrine and our lack of study to keep us from remembering the fact that our Lord is coming for us, and soon. We're told in the book of Revelation in the 16th chapter and the 15th verse, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, he said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. In the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew and verse 42, Jesus said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Brethren, our Lord and Savior could come at any moment. Our Lord and Savior could come even before this conference is over. We may not make it to our homes before he comes for us. He may not come for a few days or a few weeks or a few months. We do not know. But one thing we know, he's coming and soon. In the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, "Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." The word "draweth nigh" means is at hand. It's the same word that's translated in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 46, which tells us here, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Jesus said, "He is at hand that is going to betray me," and he was speaking of Judas, and Judas was there at the gate, ready at that very moment to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And James says, "Judge, be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Beloved, the Lord could come at any moment. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, Revelation 22 and verse 12 says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." He says, "I come quickly," meaning that at any time he could come. I do not tolerate, I do not have any use for, I cannot allow any doctrine, any teaching that will tell me my Lord could not come at any moment. Amen. For the Word of God says we cannot set a time. And if he comes at any other time than at any moment, if other things are to take place first, we can set the time. But beloved, I cannot understand any doctrine that will keep me from looking for and expecting my Lord to come. I tell you, beloved, we need to watch, for he could come at any moment. Keep your eyes open for the coming of the Lord. Look for him, and do not allow Satan to give you any belief that will keep you from looking for the coming of the Lord. Watch, for he's coming. What should we do while we're watching? We should first of all watch ourselves. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy, in the fourth chapter, and verses 15 through 19, these words are said, "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that filleth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven." He says here, take heed unto yourselves, lest you begin to follow after some idol that you might have made for yourself. I'm afraid, beloved, that we have many idols in this world. Idols that we might find ourselves worshiping. We might be looking to the stars and thinking of the stars. And beloved, we must remember that the stars are created being or things that our God has created. We are not to worship that which has been created. We are to worship the creator of those things. We must not look up to the stars, to the sun. We must not look to anything that we have made for ourselves. Nor are we to set up for ourselves the idol of our own minds. Many of our brethren in this day and age are so proud of themselves and their abilities to think that they have set up an idol of themselves and their intelligence. I don't have any intelligence. All I do is understand what God says by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit. And when I read that he's coming, thank God he's coming. And I must watch myself that I do not allow myself to think he won't come. Instead, I look for the coming of the Lord. In the book of Joshua, the 23rd chapter and verse 11, Joshua 23 and verse 11, It tells us here, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Watch yourself, take heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God. That you do not put your affections on material things. That you do not put your affection on fleshly pleasures. That you do not put your affection on anything that is of this world that would keep you from living and watching for the coming of the Lord. I tell you, beloved, we must watch ourselves. Watch ourselves that we live as we ought to live, for the day is coming when our Lord is coming for us. Watch, for He's coming. Not only should we watch ourselves, but we should watch our children. In the book of Genesis, in the 18th chapter and the 19th verse, God says of Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Notice what God says of Abraham here. I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't have the right to teach your children to learn of God, to attend the services and worship God, to live the way that a person ought to live as far as the moral teachings of the Word of God is concerned. Don't let anybody tell you that. The Word of God says you should be that way. You should watch your children. Watch your children that they walk in the way that they ought to walk. Those of you who have children who have been saved by the grace of God, watch them that they might learn the proper walk for a child of God. It's so easy to be tempted in things that are ungodly and to be led astray from the proper path that a child of God should walk. We have the responsibility of watching them and showing them and teaching them of the things that they should do. You remember Job in the first chapter? One of the things that Satan didn't like about Job, it tells us in verses 4 and 5, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Beloved, you have a child who's been saved by the grace of God. When they go out, you should have taught them how to walk when they go out. But as they go from your presence, you must remember that they're meeting many trials and temptations and tribulations. And while they're out, you ought to be on your knees before God and saying to God, "My child is out somewhere. Oh God, watch over them and will help them that they might live worthy." Beloved, we need to watch for our children as well as ourselves. Watch for our children because the coming of the Lord is near and they need to be living godly as the day comes. And while we watch, beloved, I might advocate that we should watch in faith. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in the 16th chapter and verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, which you like men be strong." Beloved, as we watch, this watch of ours must be in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not think that we have the ability to watch within our own strength. Do not think that you have the power to withstand the darts of Satan. Do not think that you can take care of things yourself, but watch in faith, seeking the strength of God that we'll talk about in a few moments, seeking the guidance of God as you watch and as you walk and as you trust. Fall before God and say to Him, "Lord, help me today." When we get up, we should say in our hearts, "Lord, today I'm going to be out in the world. Help me to be watching and to be living and to be serving Thee this day." We should be watching in faith. We read in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, where it says, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Oh, how we need to keep our eyes open to the Lord. How we need to be walking in a way that is sober and righteous in the eyes of God. And we need to be awake, expecting His coming at any moment. In the book of Ephesians, in the 6th chapter, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our prayer, our watching should be in perseverance and in prayer, as we're told in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. Remember our text said, watch and pray. We need to pray. Oh, how we need to pray. I believe, beloved, that in this day and age, our brethren have come to the place, we have come to the place, where we have given the place of prayer way down the road from where it ought to be. We do not have the desire to pray. We do not feel the need to pray. We do not have the place of prayer where it ought to be. Prayer ought to be first in our life. Anything we do, whatever it is, as an individual, as a church, as brothers and sisters, it ought to be with prayer. You know, every time we go to talk to someone and tell them about the Lord, we should be going blanketed with prayer. Every time we preach a sermon, that sermon ought to be sent forth with many prayers behind it. Those of you who are sitting and listening to a sermon that's being presented by your pastor or by some preacher, you ought to be praying for that message and for that messenger. You ought to have been praying before you ever got to the services, praying that God will lead that one in the preparation and then the presentation of the message. I tell you, beloved, prayer is important in our lives, and yet we have allowed ourselves to get to the place where we think that it has no importance. We rationalize, you know, and we say, well, we serve a sovereign God, so prayer is not going to make any difference. Let me tell you something, beloved. I don't know how God uses the prayers as far as our lives are concerned. I'm not concerned about that. But I know this. My Lord and Savior prayed every time He turned around. He prayed all night before He chose the disciples. He prayed on the mountaintops. He prayed in the garden. He was on His knees. He was on His face before God. He prayed until He sweat great drops of blood. If our Lord and Savior, the Son of our sovereign God, prayed, then who are we to think we do not need prayer? He's the one that taught us to pray. He's the one that told us to pray. He's the one that said to watch and pray, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Oh, listen, beloved. We need to pray. We need to pray for guidance. In the book of Psalms, in the 26th chapter, Psalms 26 and verses 11 through 14, I have wrong reference. All right, let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. We need to seek the strength of God for our life. As we go through this life, we need the strength to walk. We need the strength to go in the path that He would lead us. Seek the Lord and His strength. Going back to the book of Psalms, the 138th Psalm. Psalm 138 and verse 3. In the day when I cried, Thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. He said, in the day when I cried, Thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. The 119th Psalm and verse 28. Psalm 119 and verse 28, My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Oh, many times we get so heavy in our hearts, We get so heavy in our soul that it just seems as if that we're ready to give up. But then's when we need to call upon God to give us the strength to go in the way that He would lead us. Oh, we need to pray for strength and for guidance to take us every step of the way. But especially, we need to pray for deliverance from temptation. We're told in Mark the 14th chapter in the 38th verse, Mark 14 and verse 38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Matthew the 26th chapter and the 41st verse says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We heard in this conference of the fact that one of these days the flesh will no longer be weak. Praise God for that. One of these days we'll not have to worry about the temptations that come upon us. We'll not have to worry about the sicknesses, the heartaches, and all of that. But today we do. As long as we're here, we do. And we need to call upon God. We need to call upon God to guide us, lest we enter into temptation. While we might say within our heart, I will never fall into temptation. Have you ever said to yourself, I don't know why so-and-so did what they did. I would never do a thing like that. That's a dangerous thing to say. Amen. That's a dangerous thought to have. That's a dangerous way to feel, because that's when Satan will begin to try to work with you and to lead you into some temptation just like it. Because when we get to thinking that we are so good that we will not fall into that temptation, that's when our guard's down, and that's when we may just do that very thing. We need to pray, even though our spirit is willing, and our spirit will say, I won't do it. Our flesh is weak, and too many times we do what we think we won't. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He will make a way to escape. There's not a temptation that will come upon you in this life that does not have a way to escape, but you have to seek it through the Lord. Amen. You cannot do it for yourself. You need the guidance of the Lord to lead you away from that temptation. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. We don't know how, but He does. Oh, how we need to seek in prayer before Almighty God the strength and the guidance to be led out of temptations in this life. Why? Because, beloved, we need to be watching for the Lord instead of following after the wills of the flesh. In Luke 22 and verse 40, when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. In verse 46, He said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Beloved, the Word of God is telling us to pray, to rise and pray, to pray that ye enter not into temptation. As we come into these last days, there are so many things going on. The moral decline of this world is so low, and it's going so fast in the downward realm that we're getting to the place where the things that we once held to be so terribly sinful that we have allowed them to become commonplace in our life. As we listen to the songs that come out over the air, the music that's supposed to be good to listen to, We hear nothing but moral decline. We hear the marriage vows made light of. We made the sins of the flesh, we hear them magnified. We hear people making fun of Christianity as they talk about the Lord supposedly knowing and going along with their sinful actions. We hear all sorts of wickedness and filth, either told directly or implied, in the songs of today. We need to be careful what we allow our ears to hear. We need to be careful what we see. Because it's getting to the place where everything is so common that the first thing you know, we're going to think, well, there's nothing wrong with it. And the first thing we know, we're going to see our children going out and doing those things and thinking there's nothing wrong with it because it's so common. And when that happens, our eyes are turned from the Lord and turned to the world and to the flesh. Yes, the world is going so rapidly downhill as far as the morals of this life. So rapidly that if you take a stand against any particular sin, you are frowned upon and looked upon as one that's denying the rights of another. Sin is lifted up and purity is brought down. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Wherever we look, whatever we see things happening that would remove us from the things of the Lord. Oh, how we need to spend our time in the Lord's house. How we need to be a part of His body, a member of His body and His church. How we need to spend time in the worship services every time we have an opportunity. How we need to spend time in the Word of God. How we need to spend time on our knees before God. How we need to spend time with our thoughts and our minds. Turn to God and to His Word. I've enjoyed the songs of these past 3 days. I've enjoyed hearing brothers and sisters singing together as a congregation and singing individually in specials. Songs that magnify the Lord. I wonder as we leave how many of us will switch our radios on and allow the ungodly filth of the world to come in and blot out what we've just heard. I wonder how many of us will, as soon as we leave here, forget to look for the coming of our Lord. Watch. He's coming. And pray that you might be found serving Him. It's been a joy and a privilege. And our prayers is with each one of you as you return to your homes. We invite you back. If the Lord has not taken us to be with Him at another time. But until then, may God be with you. And we admonish your prayers for us.